Test 1, 2, test 2, 3. Okay. Shabbat Shalom. Oh, come on. You can do better than that, all you folks out there. Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.
All right. Good job. Glad to see you all today. Man, you are looking chipper. You are looking lovely today. This is Rabbi Joe, and I just want to say welcome to Ari Yehuda Messianic Synagogue. And we're in the middle of a blizzard here. It's a blizzard condition in East Tennessee, and people are stuck in their homes today. So it's going to be we came out, those of us, the few, the proud, the brave, came out of their homes in this blustering, wintry, whiteout blizzard that we're having down here in East Tennessee. But the courageous few that arrived, praise God. So we're going to begin our service anyway, because we're here to worship the Lord. And so let's enter in to his presence with thanksgiving, his courts with praise, and his gates with thanksgiving, and his courts with praise. Amen.
Shabbat shalom.
Shabbat shalom.
Shabbat, 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 Shalom. Shabbat, Shalom.
Hey.
Shabbat, Shalom.
Hey.
Shabbat, 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 Shalom. Shabbat, 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 Shalom. Shabbat, 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 Shalom. Shabbat, Shalom. Shabbat, Shalom. Shabbat, 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 Shalom. Shabbat Menucha. Hey, hallelujah. Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat, 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 Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat, 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 Shalom.
Woo! Woo!
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I gotta blow that shofar. Shofar, so good. Is God good?
Yes, amen.
All the time?
All the time.
All the time?
All the time.
God is good.
God is good. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, asher natan lanu et derech ha-yeshua b'mashiach yeshua. Amen. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has given us the way of salvation in Messiah Yeshua. Amen.
Amen. Man, those snowflakes were the size of, how big were they? They were footballs? They're as big as footballs, right, Billy? Snowflakes the size of footballs today.
I shall prostrate myself and bow, bend the knee before the Lord my Maker. And as for me, may my prayers to you, O Lord, be at the right time. O God, in your abundant righteousness, answer me with the truth of your salvation.
Amen. Vishamru. Vishamru.
Vene Yisrael. Shabbat, la sol et ha shabbat, le dorotam barit olam. Vishamru, vene Yisrael, et ha shabbat, la sol et ha shabbat, le dorotam barit olam. Beneu, bene, bene Yisrael. B'nei Yisrael, oti le'olam. V'shamru, v'nei Yisrael, et ha-shabbat. L'asot et ha-shabbat, le'dorotam barit olam. Ki sheshet yamim, asa Adonai, et shvayim ve'horet. Veshamru, vene Yisrael, et ha-shabbat, lasot et ha-shabbat, le dorotam barit olam.
V'yom ha-shishi, shabbat v'nafash,
shabbat v'nafash, shabbat v'nafash. Veshamru, vene Yisrael, et ha-shabbat, lasol et ha-shabbat, le dorotam barit olam.
The children of Israel shall keep the Shabbat, observing it throughout their generations as an everlasting covenant.
It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Shabbat to another, all flesh shall come to worship before me, says the Lord.
Shalom, Israel, Amen.
high places make peace for Israel and for all mankind and say, Amen.
We're going to pray Shalom Shalom Yerushalayim for the peace of Jerusalem and for all the Jewish people in the diaspora. And Heavenly Father, we just come before you today and we pray Shalom Shalom Yerushalayim. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Your word says in Psalm 122:6, they shall prosper who love thee. So we pray for the peace of Jerusalem at your command, Lord. And we pray, Lord, and the peace, we know that the peace begins with the Messiah in each heart, one heart at a time, Lord. That will bring peace to Jerusalem and to all Israel. And Lord, we thank you that you reveal yourself to your people, Israel, and that you reveal the Messiah to them, Lord. We pray that they would cry out to know you and just like me and many other Jewish people searched for you and read the scriptures seeking to know the Messiah, that you would reveal yourself to them and save them, Lord. We pray, Lord, that for the Jewish people among the diaspora and the exile, for their salvation, Lord, that they too, in the time of distress and times of trouble, your word says in Deuteronomy 4, that in a time of distress in the latter days, they will seek the Lord their God, and they will turn to him with all their hearts and all their and all their soul, Lord. I pray that they would begin to seek you and that you would reveal yourself to our Jewish friends, Lord, and living in the exile, living outside of Israel. And we just pray for their salvation, that the blinders be removed, Lord, that the blinders would be removed. We pray, Lord, for the Messianic community. We pray for our leadership, Lord, that the spirit of Shebna would be removed and that the spirit of Eliakim would rule and reign in the Messianic Jewish movement, Lord, that you would remove the spirit of Shebna and those representing it and bring in the spirit of Eliakim, the spirit of righteousness and truth, the spirit of justice and peace, the spirit of love and fatherhood to our leaders, and give them vision and give them authority and vision and boldness. And I pray for the rabbis, that you would bless them today with the desires of their heart, that you would care for them, meet their needs, and give them powerful words, take away any fear of man, and help them to feed their flocks today and heal the sheep, feed the flocks, I pray. Lord, I pray a special prayer for my mother, who's been in hospice and suffering and had a setback a couple weeks ago. I pray for her that you help her to breathe, help Harriet to breathe, and help her, Lord, to show me when I need to go see her. And I just thank you, Lord, that you're in control of all things, and that you reveal yourself to her, save her, and all my family, Lord, and my friend's family, all those of us here who have family that don't know you, Lord, and those watching, Lord, I pray for their families too, in Yeshua's name. Amen.
And now the Lord says, he who formed Israel in the womb to be his servant,
to bring Jacob back to him, and gather Israel to himself. For he is honored in the eyes of the Lord,
and God has been his strength. Is it too small a thing for Israel to be my servant, to restore the tribes of Jacob, and bring back those of Israel he has kept? He will also make Israel a light for the Gentiles, that he may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth.
Amen. That's the calling of the Messiah, and the calling of the Jewish people and the followers of the Messiah is to bring the gospel to the Jewish people and to bring the gospel to the nations. And that is to be a light, to bring Jacob back to the Lord and to bring the nations in. That is it's pretty simple. That's the basic calling of the Lord, the assignment. Okay.
Do you have Monaboo?
Monaboo,
all stand for the Shema.
Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, Baruch Shem Kevod, Malchuto Leolam Vahed, V'ahavta et Adonai Elohecha, V'chol Levavcha, V'chol Nafshecha, ובכל מאודך הדברים האלה אשר אנוכי מצווך היום על לבביך ושינתם לבניך ודיברת בם בשבתך בביתך ובלכתך בדרך ובשכבך ובקומך וקשרתם להיות על ידיך והיו לטוטפות בין עיניך וכתבתם על מזוזות ביתך ובישעריך.
Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. Blessed is the name of his glorious kingdom for all eternity. And you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your might, and have these words which I command you this day be upon your heart. And you shall teach them diligently to your children, and speak of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you retire, and when you arise. And you shall bind them for a sign upon your hand, and let them be frontlets between your eyes. And you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and upon your gates.
Well, due to the incredibly horrible weather that we're having today, we're not going to have a Torah service. But we do have a special treat. Anthony Cody. Ladies and gentlemen, let's give it up for Anthony Cody. Yeah, come on. Woo! Okay.
Do you want to do the Yamod?
Okay, I'm going to do the Yamod. I'm not going to just let him up here without the Yamod. Don't come up yet. I haven't invited you up yet. Okay. All right, give me a chance. Give me a chance. All right. Where is it? Where's my Yamod?
Let's just keep going.
Do-do-do-do-do. Do 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 do. Okay, I don't have it, so I'm just gonna have to go with memory. Oh, there it is. Okay, here we go. Ya'amod Asher ben Zedekiah, Baruch et Adonai Hamavora.
Baruch Adonai
Hamrach Olam Va'ed. Baruch Adonai Hamrach Olam Va'ed. Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam. Asher bachar banu mikol ha'amim, v'natan lanu et torato, baruch atah Adonai, noten ha'torah. Amen. Bless the Lord, the Blessed One. Blessed is the Lord, the Blessed One for all eternity. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has chosen us from all peoples and given us his Torah. Blessed are you, O Lord, giver of the Torah. Amen.
Today's Torah portion is Tezav, and it's the second parsha in the book of Leviticus. It's from chapter 6 through chapter 8, verse 36. You know, one of the things that's interesting about Leviticus is that it is a detailed instruction book in the scriptures, and it tells a lot about how to prepare offerings, what purity is, and what dietary types of foods that we're to eat. It's also very full of the mitzvahs that teach us how to live our lives. You see, the world was created by God's presence upon the earth. And if you read today's Torah portion, you see that there was a period of installation that the rabbi, that Moses and Aaron and his sons were going through, and it was the institution of the priesthood into the land, into the Israelites. And this took 7 days. So it reminds us that the world is returning during this period back to the complete and wholeness of creation, because creation was 7 days and God was upon the earth. And we see today in this parasha that the 7 days of installation, God once again was returning to the earth as he did in creation. That was, prior to this, there was a spirit of darkness and there was a departure from God and the things of God. You see, God today is calling us, as he did the Israelites, to build the tabernacle, that our lives also dwell in a tabernacle. Our tabernacle is our body. It's the Mishkan. And the procedure for sacrifices that we see in this particular parasha today relate to our inner beings and how we function. You see, a sacrifice allowed the person to draw close to God. And when we sacrifice ourselves upon our altar, we draw closer to God. That's what korban means. It's sacrifice, but it means to draw close. And when you had the sacrifice, you had to put your hands upon the animal's head and you drew closer to God, because you transferred your sin, your iniquities, and your transgressions were transferred to the head of the animal, and it became your sacrifice. You see, the sacrifice, the slaughter of the sacrifice, relates to how we also are to sacrifice ourselves upon our altars. We need to sacrifice our animal instincts and our desires and the things that are not pleasing to God. We must do this every day. And God commands that. He commanded the Israelites today, with especially Moses and Aaron, that the fire on the altar would never burn out. The fire was perpetual. It never did burn out. It was never made to burn out. You see, God has reached down to us to give us a means to relate to him. And when we do, we elevate ourselves in a higher level to reach God. You see, that was one of the purposes of the mitzvahs. It was God's way of relating himself to us and his and our inheritance to his mitzvahs. There's 613 is the way that we can draw much closer to God as we observe those that we can and come closer to God. If you look at the root word for mitzvahs, tzvah, it means to form a bond. And so that's what the mitzvahs are doing when we observe them. And with God, it's the lessons of life. They're not, I don't consider them really a law, but they're more of a, I consider them lessons in life. This is what God is saying. I want you to live your life this way. And in doing so, we will build a bond of relationship that will be forever. You see, the outward appearance and the physical aspects of the tabernacle relates to how we are today. Our bodies are that outer court, and our sanctuary are our insides, especially our heart. You see, the heart is our altar, and that is the continual fire that God says must continue to be burning at all times. It never went out. You see, the fire represents love to God. And even when the temple was present in the tabernacle, they still kept the fire on the altar during Shabbat. That was the only, if you want to say work, but that was the way that God had instructed them. They would always keep the fire on the altar. It would never go out. You see, Aaron and his sons remained in the sanctuary for 7 whole days to be dedicated into the priesthood. And you see, with that and with the blood, they put the blood on the earlobe, on the thumb, and on the toe. That was telling them that they were to hear God and listen. They were to do the work that God had given them, and they were to walk with God in his mitzvahs and walk a holy, dedicated life unto God. And that was for 7 days. It was the time that God came back, just like at creation, he came back during the 7 days as the tabernacle was there, and so the dedication of the priests. One of the unusual things about the priesthood was God prepared them to build, when they made the altar and they would keep the fire on the altar, it was up to the Kohanim, who would be the people who would maintain the altar, and they were required by God to be the caretakers, and they did the cleaning, the maintenance on the altar. They would remove the ashes and the things that weren't burnt, the animals maybe didn't burn completely up. Those things were done by the priests, not the Levites, but by the priests. Why would God want them to be the caretaker of the altar and have to do that manual work, which I imagine with the ashes, it wasn't maybe the cleanest job they had. But God wanted them to understand humility, that even though they were priests chosen of him, they were not really any higher than anybody else that was in Israel at that time. So God says, you will clean the altar, you will take the ashes out, you will keep it clean, and the fire will continuously burn. You see, just to close this morning, if you look at the Messianic reign, it tells us that there's a day coming that our prayers during the Messianic reign, we will no longer have to pray for sickness or for poverty or for well-being or whatever our prayers are. Our prayers during Yeshua's reign will be one of thanksgiving. It'll be a different mode. We won't have to pray, Lord, heal me, because there will be no sickness when he comes back again, no poverty. That's a glorious day that's coming. And so, you know, when they would sacrifice on the altar, for 7 days, they sacrificed bullocks, rams, and they also gave them unleavened bread. And the sin offering was offered during the 7 days. But just back to the Messianic reign of Yeshua, something that's in front of us that's coming, is that our prayers will be different when that happens. They will be prayers of thanksgiving rather than prayers of needs. It will be prayers of thanksgiving because he will give us everything that we need. That's a glorious day.
Let's all thank the Lord for his word, for his Torah. He has spoken to us. It's eternal, and it's not only good advice, it's his words to us, and so we thank him for that he's not left us alone without instructions. It's blessed. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. Cause us to be turned to you, Lord, and we shall return. Renew our days as of old.
Amen.
Amen.
Billy, has that snow calmed down a little? Is it about the size of a baseball now? Billy says yes. Snow's gone down to the size of a baseball. Praise the Lord. Maybe he'll hit a golf ball soon.
Praise the Lord. I want to welcome everybody.
Welcome, Miss Dawn.
Welcome, Rabbi Joe. This is our Yehuda Messianic Congregation in Bristol, Virginia. We also are right over the line from Bristol, Tennessee. So we are in Tennessee and Virginia.
Or as the Geico Gecko would say, Tennigenia.
Yes, that's what we're famous for now. Praise the Lord. And NASCAR. And we're the fastest congregation in Yeshua.
World's
fastest congregation. Praise the Lord. So we want to welcome you and thank you for signing on today. Please, if you haven't signed up for our newsletter or our emails, all you have to do is click on the sign up there, contact us, and we will send you all our updates about what's going on, events like Passover and all the feasts and special events. We've got a lot of special guests that come in, and I'm sure you would like to know about. So please stay in touch, and we'll let you know about all the great things that are going on And if you're within driving distance, 2 hours or so, we ask that you come and visit. Take a day and come out and worship with us, either on one of these events or during our regular service here. We'd love to have you. And we are your local connection to Israel. We are your local place to serve Israel. We are your local place to support and to help make Israel a beautiful, shining place. And right here, you don't have to go to Israel. You can just come to Ari Yehuda. Hallelujah. Just a couple of announcements, and we will continue with our worship. And Rabbi Joe will be bringing us a message about Passover today, so I'm sure you're going to really want to stay tuned for that. It's going to be an awesome message about the Seder plate and all the items on it. So I'm looking forward to that. And in preparation for our banquet coming up and Passover itself, which starts officially starts on March 30th, which is Friday. So Friday is the first day of Passover, and then Saturday night we're having our banquet. So we invite you to come if you haven't already signed up, and all you have to do is click on the link there on the website at www.forzionsake.org, and it'll take you to our reservation page where you can sign up. Okay? Now, we're going to have to get our numbers in this week, probably Monday. And so if for some reason I have to shut down the site Tuesday, we'll have to determine whether it's going to. Please just call me if you still want to come during the week. If for some reason the site doesn't work after Monday or Tuesday, go ahead and try it. But if it doesn't, give me a call at 276-644-1678. That's our office. And leave a detailed message. Either I or our assistant will call you back, and we'll try and help you out and make sure that you get a place. Okay? So all the information is there. I'm not going to go through all the details and the prices and all that. It's all there on the website. So, and if you have any questions, just call us, and we will get you on the list. Okay? And those of you out there who are helping, working, and in the congregation, we're going to have a meeting today after Oneg, possibly, depending on how many people make it. And so also I've got sheets downstairs that have all the information on it, the schedule and what we're doing this next week. And I'll just kind of go over it real quickly. Thursday night, we're here making haroset and getting prepared, all our stuff ready to go. Friday night, we'll be at the hall, New Life Baptist Church. That's where we're at. We've been at Holiday Inn for many years, so everybody remember, we're at New Life Baptist Church in Bluff City, Tennessee. Okay? And so Friday night, we're at the hall, getting everything all set up at the hall. And then Saturday, anybody who wants to come and help, around 12, 1 o'clock, we'll start getting all the Seder plates ready and flowers and last-minute preparations. 5 o'clock, we need to be in our places ready to receive guests. So that's the schedule. And one last reminder there. I believe, Rabbi, we're not going to have service next week. Is that right?
We might have a one-hour service before we set up, because of the weather today, we might just do like a one-hour over there. Yeah.
Okay, so we will
Like 12:30 or 11 to 12.
We'll have a short service at the hall next week, and so please try and make that if you can. So we can prepare spiritually for the evening. Amen? And we'll send out a text and a reminder about that. Okay? That's all I have, Rabbi. So is there anything else you would like to say?
Let me just add, again, the phone number. Next week, she will have to shut down. We have the reservations are filling up for our Passover. We only have about 50 spaces left. If you're part of the congregation and you're coming, please call. If you're not part and you want to get tickets, please get your tickets. You can call. Don gave the phone number, but I'm going to give it to you again. 276-644-1678. That's 276-644-1678. Or you can go to our website where you are at right now and get your tickets. Anyhow, so it's filling up, and we're going to have a great night, great Passover this week from today. And Saturday night, we're going to have, it'll be Saturday Night Live in Bristol.
Live action.
Anthony's excited. Are you excited, Anthony? Anthony says he sure is excited. So we're glad that you're coming, and we're going to have the dancers from Benot Zion. They are a famous dance group who dance with Paul Wilbur in Jerusalem and all kinds of at the feasts in Jerusalem, and they're going to be with us from Knoxville, and the great Jean Mabry and her team will be coming to dance for us, and Miss Dawn will be playing the piano, and my lovely wife will be doing Dayenu and other Passover songs. And so we hope you'll join us. We're going to take up our tithes and offerings right now. And I'm going to pray. And if you'd like to give, if you're online, you'd like to give and support this ministry, you can do so securely on PayPal. Nobody sees it. We don't see your credit card. We don't see any of your private information except your name and address so that we can receipt you. But we don't get anything else about you. We don't get your birthday, your height, anything like that, your suit size, you know. we just guess. Seriously, we don't know. PayPal doesn't tell us anything. So you are secure. All right. Secure as long as the Russians aren't watching you. Anyway, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this opportunity to sow, to give into your kingdom, and Lord, we thank you that we can never outgive God, and that when we plant a seed, you multiply those seeds thousands of fold. Lord, when you plant a tomato seed, you get thousands of tomato seeds back, and when you plant a cucumber seed and it grows, you get thousands of cucumber seeds in return. And we just thank you, Lord, that you're the God who says, be fruitful and multiply. You are the God of multiplication. And we thank you that you multiply these offerings and bless the givers 100-fold, Lord, in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. Amen and amen. All right, we're going to take our offering.
about the Messiah. Together we'll sing his praises. I will talk to my brothers about the Messiah. Together we'll sing his praises. Together we will sing his praises. Hallelujah. And together we will sing his praises. Hallelujah. 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 I will talk to my brothers about God, my Father. Together we'll sing his praises. I will talk to my brothers about God, my Father. Together we'll sing his praises. And together we will sing his praises. Hallelujah. And together we will sing his praises. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I will talk to my brothers about my Yeshua. Together we'll sing his praises. I will talk to my brothers about my Yeshua. Together we'll sing his praises.
Together we will sing his praises.
Hallelujah. And together we will sing his praises.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I will talk to my brothers about the Messiah. Together we'll sing his praises. I will talk to my brothers about the Messiah.
Together we'll sing his praises. Together we will sing his praises.
Hallelujah.
And together we will sing his praises.
Hallelujah.
Rabbi's got a lot of things going on this week, so I hope you come out for some of them. And we're going to sing his praises and tell everybody about the Messiah this week, right? Amen.
I am eternally grateful for Jesus, for all he has done for me. He has given me life and salvation, given me liberty. Lord, I praise and I bless your name.
is the love of God. Test 5, 6, pick up sticks. 7, 8, don't be late. 9, 10, do it again. Okay. On the night he was betrayed, Yeshua took the cup. He said, "This cup," and there's many cups. You have to trust me. There are many cups underneath this napkin. You have to take it by faith. And Yeshua took the cup and he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood poured out for the forgiveness of sin." He was talking about the third cup of the Passover meal, the cup of redemption. But he blessed the cup and he said, "Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam borei pri hagafen. Amen. Blessed art thou, Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth the fruit of the vine. Amen." That same Passover night, Yeshua took the bread, the unleavened bread, and he took the bread we call the afikomen, the middle piece of three, on every Passover table, and he broke it. And he gave it to his disciples and he said, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam hamotzi lechem min haaretz. Amen. Blessed art thou, Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth, and Yeshua, the bread of life, who rose from the earth on the third day. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, since we're snowed in today and we have a smaller group, Deborah, you think you could handle it? All right. I'm going to ask Deborah to come and serve. And we just want to invite all believers. Let's just bow our heads for a moment. If you are not a believer in the Messiah, and let's close our eyes. If you're not a believer in the Messiah, just raise your hand and I'll pray with you. If you don't know Yeshua today, just raise your hand and I'll pray with you and that you would know the Lord. And if you're watching today and you don't know the Lord, you don't know Yeshua, but you'd like to invite him into your heart, just pray with me right now. The Bible says if we confess with our mouths and believe in our heart that Yeshua, that Jesus is Lord, we shall be saved. If we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that Yeshua is Lord, we shall be saved. So if you're watching today and you'd like to pray that prayer, just pray with me now. Dear God, I have messed up. I have broken your laws. I have broken them every day of my life. I have not perfectly kept your Torah or your new covenant laws. In fact, I don't even know all what they all are. I couldn't recite them if somebody asked me. So God, I need your forgiveness. And that's what Yeshua is. He is forgiveness. So I need forgiveness. I need Yeshua to come into my life. Come into my heart, Lord. Come into my heart and forgive me for messing up, for breaking your laws. Forgive my sin and put my name in your book of life forever. In Yeshua's name. Amen. Hallelujah. If you're watching today and you prayed that prayer for the first time, just let us know and we will have a gift for you. Just email us or message us at For Zion's Sake on Facebook or Ari Yehuda Congregation on Facebook, Messianic our Yehuda Messianic congregation, and we will get in touch with you privately. You can message us privately. So we thank you and God bless you. If you'd like to participate with us, get some crackers or matzah and some fruit of the vine. If you watch our services regularly, you can know to have that with you, because we do the Lord's table every week. We go to the Lord's table, so feel free to do that. Be ready every week. And I'm going to ask Miss Deborah's going to serve, and just come as you're ready. As I like to say, come early and come often. Yeshua. God is good. Amen. All the time.
All the time.
Amen. God is faithful.
Yes.
God is on time. Amen. Amen. God is, we may think he's late, but he's never late. He's always on time. How many of you know God doesn't make mistakes?
Amen.
God doesn't make mistakes. Did you know that? He never makes mistakes. No red marks on his quizzes. No red marks on his exams. They have red marks anymore, Xavier? It's all computer now, right? They put red marks if you get it wrong? Xavier doesn't really know. But anyway, we'll just go with it. No red marks on the Lord's tests. No red marks. Amen? And God's word is... God's word is yes and amen.
Yes.
Amen? His word is yes and amen. Yes. His promises are yes and amen. Everybody say that. His promises are yes and amen. And amen. Whatever God has promised you, whatever God has given you a vision for, if you are walking obedience to the Lord and stay within, you know, stay on the path and you don't backslide, He will bring every one of those promises to pass. And even if you do backslide, He can get you back on the path and bring you to that place where He wants to bring you. Amen? And God, how many of you know God wants good things for you?
Amen.
God wants good things for you. He doesn't promise to make you like John Rockefeller. He doesn't say He's going to make you a billionaire. He doesn't. Salvation is no promise. You're going to drive a Maserati. You know, but God wants good things for you. And those who follow God, King David said, I've never seen the righteous begging bread. Amen? I've never seen the righteous begging bread. Praise God. You know, since I've been following God, you know, some people, I was having a debate on social media and the other day. You can be seated. And I said, you know, God asked Noah to build an ark. God asked Noah to build an ark. God told Abraham to sacrifice his son. And God told the rich young man to give all his wealth away. Just because God told Noah to build an ark doesn't mean He's telling you to build one, right?
Right, yeah.
Just because God told Abraham to sacrifice his only son and put a knife in him and burn him at the stake doesn't mean He's telling you to do the same with your child, right?
Right.
And just because God told the rich young man to give away everything he had doesn't mean God's telling you to give away everything you have. If you do, you won't be able to help anybody else, right?
Amen?
Amen? So unless you clearly hear God say that, and I know people who have done that, have given away everything they have, thinking that they're pleasing God. They never got a word from God. They just read it in the Bible. Not everything God says in the Bible is for me. Say that. Not everything God says in the Bible is for me. Did God tell you to go to Nineveh and preach to the Ninevites?
No.
You're not Jonah. Say, I'm not Jonah. Amen? So not everything in the Bible is for you, but many things are. Many promises are, and God will show you and speak to you. If you read His Word, and you read His Word, and you spend time with Him, you will learn, and He'll hear His voice, and you meditate on His Word. He'll speak to you. He'll direct you. He'll guide you. But I've seen people, you know what false piety is? Everybody say false piety. People who go and give away everything they have because they think it's the godly thing to do. That's false piety. If God doesn't tell you, He didn't tell you to build an ark. He didn't tell you to sacrifice your son. And He didn't tell you, you're not Jonah. He didn't tell you to go to Nineveh. And He didn't tell you to give away all your earthly possessions. Disciples didn't give away all their earthly possessions. They left them. Ooh, preaching rabbi. They left their earthly possessions. They didn't give them all away. They left their homes. They left their families. They left their jobs. They didn't sell them. They didn't give them away. They just went off and followed the Lord. That's what a disciple is. One who gives up a job, who gives up a home, who walks away from their family for the Lord. But if out of false piety, you don't hear from God, you just give it all away, and you end up in public housing, and you end up on food stamps or whatever they call it today, and you're miserable because you gave it all away and God didn't tell you to. If you drive your car 100 miles an hour and you hit somebody and you go to jail and you're a Christian, you're going to go to jail. You can be, and God will forgive you. He'll forgive your sin, but you're going to do your time. You're going to sit there in jail, and you're going to pay the price in this life. And if you mess up in this life, make the wrong decision, you're going to pay the price. If God didn't tell you to do it, He'll let you pay. Everybody say, He'll let me pay. He'll let me pay the price. He'll forgive me. But he's not gonna dig you out of the hole. Okay? You're going to have to pay the price. He's not going to dig you out of the hole. You may have to do a little digging yourself. All right, I'm done with my sermon. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. All right, let's come to the Lord's table. So God came to forgive our sins. He's not our sugar daddy, and he doesn't always promise to dig us out of the hole. He does promise to help us and make a way for us and redeem us. He is a redeemer, and but we got to obey his word. Hallelujah. So that said, L'chaim be Yeshua, to life in Yeshua. Double portion today. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, Xavier. Wake up first. Yeah. All right, children are going to stay in today, and Don's going to bring them some goodies, and I'm going to preach, and the kids are going to stay in, and Isaac, you have the title of the message. Carol, do you have the title of the message? Can you give it to Isaac, please? Excuse me. You know, people today are quick to answer. People react. They don't think. A lot of people don't think. They just react. They don't pray. They get a word, and instead of accepting the word or considering the word, they don't listen to the word. They just react. You know, they don't look for a confirmation. God, when you get a word or you hear a man of God or a preacher give a word, don't just react to the word and argue argumentatively. Look for a confirmation. Ask God, is this guy telling me straight? I always tell people, and somebody else does the same thing. They said their rabbi does that. I say, don't take my word for it. Ask God. Pray. But before you discount what a man of God says, pray. Ask the Lord. Amen. Don't just argue with a man of God. It's a foolish thing to do that. And you don't know. You haven't heard from God. And I see this so much on social media. People haven't heard from God, and all they do, they just want to, you know, attack, you know. Back off. Pray. Don't answer so quickly. You got two ears and one mouth. Amen. Right? Listen more and speak less. Hallelujah. That's my second sermon. Now I'm coming with my third. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word today. I thank you for this message. And I just give you the praise. Lord, I want to pray for our children. Lord, we just pray that you bless them. We thank you that they are arrows in our quiver. We thank you that they are the beginning of our strength. They are the heritage and our future. And we just thank you, Lord, for our children. We bless them, train them up to walk in your ways, that when they're old, they will not depart from it, Lord. And help them, keep them from sickness. Heal Joshua, who's sick today. Heal Joshua. And bless our children. Give them the desires of their heart and prepare them for life. In Yeshua's name. Now, Lord, I welcome the folks on Facebook. Shalom, welcome. We're glad you're with us today for the mysteries of the Seder plate revealed. We're going to talk about the mysteries of the Seder plate. today as we prepare for Passover. And we just thank you, Lord, for your word, for your anointing. Thank you, Lord, for your anointing, and that you bind the enemy, that you anoint our ears to hear and our eyes to see what you have for us today as we reveal the mysteries of the Seder plate today. As we talk and we prepare for Passover, we make ready for Passover. In Yeshua's name, amen and amen. Hallelujah. All right. Well, today's message, we want to again welcome folks on Facebook. We're glad you're with us today, and folks here and folks on watching on live stream. Again, today's message is the mystery of the Seder plate. We're going to hopefully reveal some of the mystery of it and why the Seder plate is the way it is. And so we're going to let me go step over here to my Seder plate table. This is my Isaac, I might need you to turn this. I'll just pull things to me. I will pull them. Here I have a Seder plate, okay? And this has everything that's on a Seder plate. For those of you who've never celebrated Passover, Seder plate is a very important part of the Passover meal, okay? And there are certain items. There's parsley, which is a green, which I'll explain. And then there's horseradish. There's the bitter herb, which is we have a horseradish root. There's the root of the bitter herb, which is on the plate. And then there's also horseradish. Now, for the root of the bitter herb, we can use a horseradish root. It looks like a tooth. I don't know what kind of animal, but it looks like big, like somebody pulled a tooth, doesn't it? Then we have the actual horseradish itself that we eat, and we're instructed to eat a teaspoon of horseradish at Passover. And the next item we have is the haroset, and this is a sweet mixture, which I'm going to explain all these things. This is made of chopped apples and honey and cinnamon and nuts. And it tastes delicious. And the next item is the Beitzah, or the Hagigah. The Hagigah is a name for the Paschal Lamb, the Passover sacrifice. But this thing, it's also called the Beitzah, and it represents the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem. The destruction of the temple. Could somebody get me a one of those lighters, if we have one? Do we have one of those gas lighters back there? And then the last thing on the plate is the Zeruah, the shank bone of the lamb. And I'm going to talk about that too. So this is the Seder plate, and in the middle is salt water. So we're going to talk about each item. And the other thing I also have here is a Seder plate. This is a real Seder plate. And this is what a Seder plate looks like. I've put everything in dishes for you. Thank you, dear. I've put everything in dishes for you so that you can see them, so I can hold up the dish and explain the item. But this is what a Seder plate looks like. And contrary to its appearance, ladies, it's not used for deviled eggs. Okay? All right. Each compartment in this Seder plate is part of the picture of redemption. Each item of food on the plate is part of the picture of redemption. Okay? Now, a lot of people say that the Jewish customs and traditions are not of God. But let me give you an example. Isaac, do we have a mezuzah out there? Can you see? How many of you know what a mezuzah is? See out there on the table. On the table. Bring one in if there's one on the table. Thank you, buddy. Okay. So a mezuzah is a little container that we use to put the Word of God in. Isaac's bringing me one right now. Thank you, son. Yeah, I just needed one he could hold. Thank you. Thank you, buddy. This is a mezuzah, and if you see it, it's very pretty. It's painted, and it's got the shin, which is typical, represents El Shaddai, the all-sufficient one, the name, one of the names of God. And inside of it, in the back, is we put some scripture in the mezuzah, okay, and then we nail it to the doorpost. We nail it to the doorpost, okay. So the scripture says, "And you shall these words which I have commanded you today are to be on your hearts. You are to wear them on your sleeve, on your forehead, and put them on the doorposts of your house." Well, how do you put the word of God on the doorposts of your house? You could paint it. But Jewish people put mezuzahs. And a mezuzah is a container for the word of God. So there's a little scroll. Usually it contains the Shema from Deuteronomy chapter 6 is in there. Is the Shema, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one," and one God, and that's usually the scripture that's in the mezuzah. But so the word of God, listen, hear me out. The word of God is nailed. Jewish people, this is a tradition. No, God didn't say make a mezuzah. He just said put the word of God on your doorposts. Amen. But Jewish people started taking these little boxes and putting the word in, nailing them to the doorposts of their house. So who is the word of God? Jesus, right? Jesus is the word. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and he came into his own. Amen? Yeshua is the word. Amen? Who was nailed to the cross? Yeshua, Jesus was nailed to the cross. Amen. What's a doorpost? Is it a piece of wood? Amen. So the mezuzah is nailed. We are taking this little almost like a coffin for the word of God, and you're nailing it to the doorpost of your house. You're nailing the word onto the doorpost of your house. Amen. Do you see the connection between Yeshua being nailed to the cross and between nailing this word of God to the doorpost, which is a piece of wood of your house, as a way of saying, should say, Yeshua lives here. This house belongs to the God of Israel. Amen? Now, this isn't commanded in the Bible, but God says in Romans that the oracles of God were entrusted to the Jewish people. God gave the oracles of God to the Jewish people. So just because it's not in the Bible doesn't mean that things that Jews do don't represent God. Jews live and breathe God. They just don't know, they don't always know God. They don't always know the Messiah. But a lot of the things that the rabbis and the sages have taught us are valuable. This is a very valuable tool to understanding the Messiah. Amen. And it wasn't even told. It just says in the Bible, and write the word on the doorpost of your house, on the door frame. Amen. Jews put it in a box. If you paint it on the door frame of your house, you're going to have to repaint it every couple of years, right? But if you put this on the door frame of your house, it'll last 25, 30, 40, 50 years. Glory to God. Isn't that awesome? So Jewish people do some things that God didn't say. God never said, make a Seder plate. He didn't say it. But Jews have been doing it for thousands of years, and you know what? Jesus did too. It says he sopped. There's four questions asked at every Passover. And those questions are, why do we eat unleavened bread? Why do we eat matzah? This is matzah. This is the unleavened bread of Passover. Amen. And I'm cracking open a box. That's matzah. Amen. This is the bread of affliction of Passover. And this is, so we're commanded the first thing of the four questions, why do we eat unleavened bread? That's number one. I'm not going to get into that so much today because I'm talking about the plate. But the second question is, why do we eat bitter herbs? And why do we dip our food twice? Why do we eat bitter herbs? And why do we dip our food twice when normally we don't dip at all? Okay? And then the last question is, the first question, why is this night different from all other nights? why is this night different from all other nights? So the four questions are, number one, why is this night different from all other nights? Why do we eat matzah? Why do we eat unleavened bread? And why do we eat bitter herbs? And why do we dip our food twice? Now, in ancient times, the question was, why they asked the fourth question was, why do we eat roast meat? Why do we eat roast lamb? So they were actually asking, why is this night different in ancient times? Why do we eat bitter herbs? Why do we dip our food twice? And why do we eat roast lamb? Why do we eat roast lamb? Now they changed that last question to why do we dip our food twice? Okay, but they used to ask, why do you eat unleavened bread? Why is this night different from all other nights? Why do we eat bitter herbs and why do we eat roast lamb? Well, three of those things, bitter herbs, unleavened bread, and roast lamb, were the three things that God told Moses in Exodus 12 to tell the children of Israel to eat at Passover. Bitter herbs, he told them to eat three things, unleavened bread, bitter herbs, and roast lamb. Amen? Take a spotless lamb, roasted whole without breaking any of its bones, and apply its blood to the doorpost of your house. Amen? But today, when the temple was destroyed, the Jews stopped serving lamb after 20 years after the temple was destroyed and the sacrificial altar was torn down. At the Council of Yavna, led by Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, the rabbis decided we will no longer serve lamb at Passover. And so what they did was they replaced lamb with a bone. So this is the shank bone of a lamb. And instead of eating the lamb at Passover, at a certain point in the meal, everybody points to the bone as a reminder of sacrifices that are no longer offered. So our rabbis took away the lamb from Passover, and they took the, in other words, they took the lamb out of Passover. Isn't that interesting, symbolic? The Jewish rabbis, by after they stopped, they decided not to believe in Jesus, the Lamb of God, or Messiah, our Passover, 1 Corinthians 5, 6 and 7, for Messiah, our Passover is sacrificed, therefore let us keep the feast. But 20 years after the temple was destroyed, the rabbis decided we will take the lamb out of Passover. So Passover has been without a lamb in Judaism for 2,000 years. Amen? But we Messianic Jews, we put the lamb back in. We put the lamb back in Passover. Amen? And not the lamb, not just the, it's nice to eat lamb, you know, meh, that kind of lamb. But the lamb I'm talking about is the Messiah Yeshua, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. That's the lamb we put back in Passover. Amen? So we may still talk about the bone, but we also talk about the lamb. So let me go over the Seder plate with you here. And it's really interesting because, all right, let me, as I go over it with you, the first item we talk about, let me explain what each item is. Okay, this is the karpas. It's the first item. It's the greens. The greens represent new life. Everybody say new life. Karpas. Say karpas. Karpas. New life. Okay? And this is the first time we sop. Remember, the Lord sopped with Judas. He said, the one who betray me, I'll sop with the one who will betray me. And so the first sopping in the salt water, and the salt water, it's foggy, you can see, it represents tears. Everybody say tears. And so we're to dip, the first thing that we dip from the Seder plate is the karpas. We dip it in the salt water because it represents a life without redemption is a life without full of tears. A life without redemption, a life without the Messiah, is a life full of tears. Okay? But in Messiah, we have new life. Everybody, amen? He gives us new life. If we accept Jesus, if we don't fight God and we accept his son, the Messiah, then God gives us new life. That's what the greens represent, the new life. Amen? Praise God. Now the next item is the root of the bitter herb. The next item is the root of the bitter herb. Okay? And this is a horseradish root, okay? It's a nasty looking thing, huh? This is an old one. It's probably pretty dried up by now, but it still works. And Jewish people also use an onion. They use an onion or a horseradish root to represent the bitter herb, the root of the bitter herb. Now, I want to talk about the root of the bitter herb for a second. Now, this is an order. This is the second item on the Seder plate is the root of the bitter herb, okay? So why is this here? All right. In a simple sense, it's here to represent the suffering that my ancestors suffered under Pharaoh. They suffered in slavery, bitterness, hardship under Pharaoh, right? And in a New Covenant sense, Yeshua suffered under Pilate. Amen? Yeshua suffered under Pilate in a New Covenant sense. But I want to mess with you, okay? A lot of you, maybe not you here, but a lot of you watching, a lot of you out there, a lot of folks, you have a bitter root in you. You have a bitter root. A lot of people have a root of bitterness. These are the ones who are complainers. These are the ones who are grumblers. And they're grumbling about something that went on 20 years ago and 30 years ago and 5 years ago. You can spot one with a bitter root because they haven't forgiven and they're still grumbling and complaining about a pastor, about a boss, about an ex-wife, about what their dad did to them. 30, 40 years later, they're still complaining and moaning because they've got a bitter root. A root of bitterness has taken hold in their heart. Doesn't it look nice on my tie? A root of bitterness has taken hold in their heart and they haven't let it go. And I'm messing with you. I'm telling you, there's a lot of believers out there who are in bondage. In bondage. Now, this greens represents the new life you get in Jesus. Amen? These greens represent the new life, the salvation. But people come in, they get saved, and they still have a bitter root. They're angry with their sisters. I'm messing now. They're angry with their brother. They're angry with their parents. They're angry with their children. They're angry with their boss. They're angry with their preacher. They're angry with their ex-husband. They're angry with this one and that one. And they hold on to it for 5, 10, 15, 20, 30, 35, 40. And when I hear it, I talk to people on the phone and I hear the grumbling and complaining. And I say, wait a second here. You're telling me you're angry with your pastor and your ex-husband from 30 years ago and you're still talking about it and you call yourself a Christian? Excuse me? I don't want to hear about it. I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to hear about what so-and-so did to you, what some pastor called you a name 30 years ago. I don't want to hear about how your ex-husband did you in 35 years ago. Move on. Yeshua said, forgive 70 times 7. Amen? Let go. You need deliverance. If you're complaining and grumbling, we've had them in this place. We've had people in this house. I won't name names or anything. But we had people, and quite recently too, we've had people in this house who do nothing but complain, are nasty, negative, bitter, and grumble, hostile, angry, bitter, and their anger is often, people's anger is often directed towards their rabbi or their pastor, because we're an easy target, because their real anger is toward God. And so we represent God, so people take it out on us. Amen? When we didn't do anything. I've had people tell me I'm angry. I've had people tell me I have an anger problem. I've had people tell me they're afraid of me. I'm as harmless as a flea. I haven't attacked. Have I attacked you, Carolyn? No, I haven't attacked you, right? Have I been nice to you? Okay, thank you. Diane, have I attacked you? No. I mean, have I ever corrected you?
Yes.
But have I done it in a nice way? Respectfully? Amen. Amen. So I try to be respectful to people, and I may correct. That's a job. That's my job. I'm not here to win a popularity contest. But I'm going to tell you, there's people sitting out there in churches and congregations, including this one, who have a bitter root, a root of bitterness, and you got to get that thing out. And that's after you're saved, because the first thing on the plate is salvation, is the new life. Amen? The first thing on the plate is your salvation. And then all of a sudden it goes right back to bitterness. How many believers are walking in bitterness, backslidden, walking in sin, not living the abundant life that they could be because they have a root of bitterness in them? Good preaching, Rabbi. Next item on the plate is the maror, and this is the bitter herb itself. We're to take a teaspoon. Deborah took one the other night, and she had a hot time in the old house that night. Amen? She wouldn't even drink water I offered her, and I won't make her take it today, but unless you want to. Oh, come on up. That's fresh. I'll cut it down to half a teaspoon. Is that too big? Is that too big? That's a. All right. Deborah's going to demonstrate eating. The rabbi has instructed us to eat a teaspoon of horseradish. This is about a half a teaspoon.
Okay.
Stay with me here. Now, you know what happens when you eat a teaspoon of horseradish? You cry. You have little choice in the matter. It's between your sinuses and the horseradish, and the horseradish usually wins. Deborah, is the horseradish winning? Deborah is showing us, demonstrating the truth about horseradish. Thank you, Deborah. Praise God. Let's give it up for Deborah. All right. God doesn't want us just to talk about the bitter herb. He wants us to experience the suffering by eating. He wants us to experience a little bit of the pain, the suffering, not only of the children of Israel, not only of the Messiah himself who suffered under Pilate, who agonized in the garden, who was beaten, who was scourged, who wore a crown of thorns, who had to carry his cross, who was sleepless, who was hungry, who was thirsty, who had, 39 lashes on his back, who was weakened, couldn't even carry his own cross all the way. Amen? God wants us to somehow, in this little dish of horseradish, experience just a little bit of the suffering that the Messiah experienced. Amen? But you know what he also wants us to do? He wants us to remember that a lot of us have bitterness in us. He wants you to remember that his redemption, he died so that you could get this bitterness out of your life. He died so that you could get this bitterness out of your life. We take it, and Deborah just took it as a reminder, get the bitterness out. Get the bitter root. Get the anger. Get the hatred. Get the gossip, get the grumbling and complaining. 1 Corinthians 10, they grumbled in the wilderness. God was not well pleased with them, it says. Read it, 1 Corinthians 10. Okay, let's go to the next item on the Seder plate. It's called the Haroset. Again, this is what a Seder plate looks like. I feel like romper room. No, just kidding. Okay, so the next item is called the Haroset, and this is a interesting substance. It's delicious. It's made of chopped apples and cinnamon and nuts and honey and dates, and it's used to remind us of the mortar that our ancestors used to make bricks for Pharaoh. It's used to remind us of the mortar that my ancestors used to make bricks for Pharaoh. But we ask the question, why is something so sweet used to make bricks? Remind us of making bricks. Well, our rabbis have a great answer. They tell us even the bitterest toil is sweetened with the promise of redemption. Even the bitterest toil is sweetened with the promise of redemption. Brothers and sisters, you're all going to have to work hard in life. Everybody, unless you're lazy and you don't want to eat, the Bible says, the lazy man doesn't eat. If you don't want to work, but if you work, You're gonna suffer. You're gonna work hard all the days of your life until somebody has to take care of you. Amen. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
You're gonna work. Why? Because Eve bit the apple, and God said, "You're gonna work by the sweat of your brow." Because Eve ate the apple and Adam ate the apple after her. And God said, by the sweat of your brow you shall live. Amen? But God says in redemption that even though you're going to have to pay the price. Remember I said that earlier on? I said, if you commit a crime, you're going to have to do the time. Even though you're a believer, you're a Christian, you're messianic, and you're saved and sanctified. I don't care if you've preached and 20,000 people got saved. Look at Jim Baker. Look at Jimmy Swaggart. They preached the gospel and many thousands got saved and many people got healed. And then they did crimes and they had to do the time. Amen? It doesn't matter if you're a believer, if you've preached the gospel to millions and people have gotten saved and healed, sanctified, delivered, set free. If you commit the crime, you're going to still do the time. Amen? God will bring justice. If not in this life, He'll bring it in the next. But a lot of people in Washington, they escape justice, but they're going to have to stand before God. But a lot of believers, they don't get, they're not so lucky. When they commit crimes, they end up in jail. This tells us that in spite of the hard work that we do, bitter toil, the hard work of life, that redemption is sweet. That redemption, ultimate redemption, is sweet. Amen? So that's why we eat the haroset. Okay. Now the next item that Judas could have dipped, this is called the Betzah or the Hagigah. It's a reminder of the temple that was destroyed in the year 70. And so Jewish people roast it until it turns black. They roast the Betzah until it turns black. Try not to burn my fingers. Okay, so you can see it. Well, it's kind of black. Not as good as if I'd had a candle. But anyway, you can see it's turned black. So the point of this is we take this egg, and it's a reminder to us, the Betzah, of the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem. It's a reminder of the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem. So we take the egg, we slice it, and we dip it into salt water, which represents tears. Again, the rabbis tell us that the salt water represents tears. So we dip the egg as a reminder. Jewish people mourn the destruction. Even to this day, they pray at the Western Wall 24/7 as they pray for the Messiah to come and for God to rebuild the temple. Amen? They're praying 24/7 for the Messiah to come and for God to destroy, to rebuild the temple. Now, Jesus, you may not think the temple is very important, but Yeshua, Jesus would walk 70, 80 miles at every holiday, even Hanukkah. He would walk to Jerusalem to celebrate. He'd go to the temple. And one time, there was a Passover and a family left Jerusalem. They traveled for 3 days and the mother looked around and said, my son's missing. And she ran back to Jerusalem and she found her son sitting there teaching the scribes and the teachers of the Torah, of the law. And he was having a good old time teaching them. And she said, where have you been? And he said, didn't you know I had to be in my father's house? He loved to be in that temple. He loved to be in that house. Amen? That was his father's house. That was God's house on the Temple Mount. Holy, 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 holy. And it's coming back. The Ezekiel temple is going to be rebuilt. Jesus is coming. He's going to come through that eastern gate. When he returns, he's going to come through the eastern gate and then sit on the throne of King David, a Jewish throne. I got news for you, those of you who don't like Jewish people. He's going to sit on the throne of David. That's not an English throne. That's not a Norwegian throne. That's not a Dutch throne. That's a Jewish throne. Jesus is coming back to sit on a Jewish throne. As far as I know, King David was a Jew, and he still is, and Jesus is going to sit on his throne. Praise God. So this egg represents the destruction of the temple, and that's why we burn it and we dip it in salt water, which Judas could have been dipped this egg. Some of these things were added after the, you know, Moses in time. These were added in. We don't know when exactly, but in the time of Yeshua, of Jesus. Now, for example, the apples I told you about, they didn't have apples in Israel back then. What did they have? They had figs and they had dates. So they made haroset. They made this sweet mixture to represent the mortar, but they used things like chopped figs and dates. They used the sweet fruits that they had to make the mixture of the sweet mixture, the brown mixture. Amen? So we use apples because we live in a world full of apples and nuts. All right, honey? Okay. The last item on the plate is the shank bone. Now watch, stay with me here because I'm going to bring this home. I'm going to bring this to a point. The last item is the zeroa. This is the shank bone of the lamb. Remember I said before, God said to eat three things at Passover. Lamb, roast lamb, bitter herbs, and unleavened bread, matzah. Amen? Unleavened bread. However, when the temple was destroyed, the rabbis decided we'll no longer serve lamb at Passover. And so instead they said, take the shank bone of a lamb and point to it as a reminder of sacrifices that are no longer offered. So we point to the bone as a reminder of sacrifices that are no longer offered. Amen? Now the presence of these two items, the Beit Sah, representing the temple, and the Zeroa, the shank bone, raises a question. With no temple and no sacrifice, how is it possible to make atonement for our soul, for our sin? Amen? With no temple and no sacrifice, how do we make atonement? For it says in Leviticus 17:11, "For I've given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your soul. For it is the blood by reason of the life that makes atonement." But with no temple and no sacrifice, how is atonement possible? Well, some people might say, "Rabbi Joe, we don't need atonement. We don't need blood sacrifice. That's gory. That's like, you know, we don't need that today. You know, there's many ways to God, and we don't have to have sacrifice." Well, I think we do. I don't think God changes. The Bible says God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen? And his requirement is the sacrifice of a perfect, innocent lamb, in this case, a sacrificial lamb, an innocent, spotless lamb. And that's the sacrifice of Passover. Amen? And so, Yeshua, instead of lambs, bulls, and goats, we don't have a temple because Yeshua came. And he died on the cross. He was crucified. He's the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. He was crucified, buried for 3 days and three nights. Amen? He rose from the dead on the third day, conquering the power of sin and death. And if you'll put your trust in him, he's the Jewish Messiah. If you'll read Isaiah 53, it'll tell you all about his sacrifice in your Jewish Bible. Jewish people watching, read Isaiah 53. If you don't believe God has a son, read Isaiah chapter 9, 6, and 7. Talks about God's son. If you don't believe that Yeshua was pierced, read Zechariah 12, 12:10. "They shall look upon me whom they've pierced, as a father mourns for an only son." If you don't believe that God has a son, again, read Psalm 2 in an old Bible. Nowadays, in the newer Bibles, they change the words. Get an old copy of a Jewish Bible, maybe your bar mitzvah Bible, and read Psalm 2. It says, "Do homage to the Son, kiss the Son, lest ye perish." Lest ye perish. Do homage to the Son, lest ye perish, and God become angry with you. But in the New Testament, it says the opposite. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish." It's the opposite to that verse of Psalm 2, that "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish." But Psalm 2 says, if you don't do homage to the Son or kiss the Son, you will perish. Simple as that. That's redemption. Believing in God's Son, the Lamb of God. Okay, this brings me to my conclusion here. We've just talked about the Seder plate. And now, here's the mystery. We started with Karpus, with new life, right? Right? We started with our salvation, right? But the egg and the bone, the egg represents the sacrifice, the lamb, and also represents the temple. And the bone represents the lamb. Why don't we start with the sacrifice? This kind of represents the cross. Why don't we start with the cross? Why do we start with our salvation after the cross? And why do we go next to bitterness, hatred, anger, resentment, carrying grudges? Why do we go from new life, salvation, to bitterness, misery, anger, grudges, resentments? Then not only does he tell us about it, then he makes us eat it. Then we have to eat the bitter herb. Because he knows we're going to sin. Even though you're saved, he knows you're going to mess up. Even though you're saved, he knows you're going to mess up. But he also says, you know, okay, you have life's hard. Life's full of hard challenges, whether it's on the athletic field or in the classroom or in the workplace. Amen. Life has its challenges, but the promise of sweetness, of victory. Sometimes, you know, if you're in life, God promises sweetness in the end. Amen? In the end, there's sweetness. And then we come to the sacrifice and the temple and the sacrificial altar and the cross. This is the cross right here. Amen? Why is the cross the last thing on the plate and not the first? Why is the new life, salvation, the first thing, but not the cross? I have a theory that when we receive our salvation, our new life, we begin a journey that takes us where we come to hopefully get the bitterness out, get the anger, the hatred, the sin out of our lives. Amen. Sanctification, he calls it. The Bible says we're all going through a process of sanctification. And that means being made holy. Okay? And then we have to eat the bitter herb. It's almost like, you know, taking a dog and making it, rubbing its nose in its own poop. You know what I'm saying? It's almost like we have to eat the bitter herb. It's like saying, let me show you how ugly you are. You know, let me show you how ugly your sin is, God is saying. Taste it. Taste your sin. See how ugly it is. But then he gives us some sweetness. He says, even though life is hard, there's sweetness too. Even though life is hard, there's sweetness. There's joy. I've given you good. I'm good. Amen. God is good, right? Even though life is hard, we have times of sweetness and times of sorrow. And lastly, we come to the cross, the temple, we come to the altar, the sacrificed lamb, the crucified one, the Lamb of God. We come back to the cross. Because, see, our salvation is just a beginning, and it brings us around to the cross. And we keep going around to the cross. And we keep going back to the cross. And we keep going around and around and around. And we keep going to the cross and saying, oh God, forgive me. Oh God, help me. I keep making this same mistake. I can't shut my mouth. I can't zip it. I can't, you know, help me to stop cursing. Help me to stop making vows and promising to pray for people I don't pray for. Help me to stop being selfish. Help me to stop being prideful. Some people have to say, God, help me to stop being lustful, and help me to stop being, some men, I've dealt with a lot of men in pornography. Help me to get out of sexual immorality. Lord, help me to, some people are living in sin. Help me to stop living in sin. Lord, help me to get off of drugs. Some people are addicted to drugs. Help me to get off of drugs. Help me to break my addiction. Set me free. Some people are addicted to alcohol. Lord, break that addiction. Amen. We have to keep going back to the cross to get new life. Amen. And every time we go back and we get a deliverance, we find another root of bitterness, don't we? And then every time we find deliverance in one area, God shows us another area where we need work. And this Seder plate explains it all, doesn't it? And that's the mystery of the Seder plate. It doesn't start at the cross. It starts with salvation and takes you back to the cross. I was thinking about it, and I'm like, why on earth doesn't it start with the cross? Why does it end with it? Why does it end with the cross? Because, yes, we do start at the cross, but that's just a beginning, and we always have to end up back there confessing our sins at the foot of the cross, laying our burdens down at the foot of the cross. Amen? Laying our burdens down at the foot of the cross. God, my yoke, your yoke is easy and your burden is light. Take my yoke upon you. For your yoke is easy and your burden is light. Give me your yoke. Put your yoke upon me, Lord. Take my heavy load, Lord. Let's all say that. Lord, take my heavy load. Your yoke is easy and your burden is light. Lord, I come to the foot of the cross today and I confess that I've made mistakes, that I don't pray enough, I don't worship enough, I don't do enough, I don't preach the gospel enough, I don't share the gospel with my neighbors, I don't share the gospel with the grocery store clerk, I just walk through and I don't share with hardly anybody anymore. I just keep it to myself, and if I don't ask people and if they know Jesus or who they think Jesus is or Yeshua, some people have never even led one person to the Lord. Some people have never even led one person to the Lord. If you do anything in this life, and there's a proposal statement on how to lead someone to the Lord, I saw it sitting on the back table. I don't know how many of them there are. How many proposal statements are back there on that table? The proposal statement will help you lead someone to the Lord. It's right there on that table. Can somebody tell me how many there are? It's sitting right in front of you, Isaac. How many proposal statements are there? How many? I can't hear. 10 to 20, okay? Take one of those proposal statements and read it and go ask somebody. Memorize that statement and just ask somebody the question, and you'll lead them to the Lord in less than a minute or two. Here's how to do it. It goes like this. You walk up to somebody sitting on a park bench, okay, or sitting on a chair downtown. I don't like to do it in a restaurant or in a closed environment where someone can't escape. I like to give them the opportunity to get away from you. Don't do it in a movie theater. Don't do it on a train. Because that's a captive audience, But the best thing is give people an opportunity, if they don't want to listen, to go away. But here's how it goes. You go up to somebody and you say, excuse me, can I ask you a question? Carolyn, let me play with you. I'll role play with you. Can I ask you a question? Come on up here for a sec. Let's turn on mic 3, please. Carolyn's going to help me out for a second. I'm going to help you folks watching how to lead someone to the Lord, okay? How you can do it in less than 2 minutes. All right. Here you go. And just talk as close into it as you can. All right.
Alrighty.
So you're going to play with me. Pretend you don't know the Lord, okay? So okay. Make it difficult for me.
Okay.
Hi there. What's your name?
Carolyn.
I'm Joe.
Hi, Joe.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Carolyn, who do you think Jesus is?
Oh, I think he's a good man. I think he was a good guy.
Yeah, that's true. He was a very good guy. Mm-hmm. You know, the Bible says he's the Son of God and that he came to die for your sins and mine. And incredibly, he rose from the dead on the third day. Do you believe that?
That's what the Jewish people and the Christians say.
Okay. Well, have you ever asked him into your heart to be your Savior?
Well, I've gone to church.
Okay. Well, a lot of people go to church, but is there any reason you shouldn't ask him into your heart to be your Savior right now?
Well, I'm pretty good.
Okay.
I don't mess with people. You know, I'm nice to people, and you know, sometimes I give to, homeless people and things like that.
Okay. Well,
you know, I'm not so bad.
Yeah, that's good, and so would you be interested in asking Jesus into your heart?
What does that involve?
Just praying with me right now. It's a simple prayer.
Okay.
All right. Let's pray.
All righty.
Dear God.
Dear God.
I believe.
That you sent your son.
Who I've been hearing about.
Who I've been hearing about.
In church. All my life. As long as I've been going. And Lord.
Forgive me.
Because I've messed up. And I confess. With this prayer. I receive Jesus. As my Savior. And my Lord. Forgive me, God. And put my name in your book of life. Forever. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Carolyn, it's nice to meet you. If you said those words and meant it, then the Bible says you are a new creation. Amen.
What do I do next?
Well, the best, it's really funny. The best thing to do is you need to find a church or a messianic synagogue.
Yes.
That you need to start attending, and I can help you and give you some literature.
Is there such a synagogue around here anywhere?
Yeah, there's one right here.
Imagine that.
And so let me just say, you did a great job. Let's give it up for Carolyn.
What's the address of this synagogue?
The synagogue is 1128 New Hampshire Avenue, Bristol, Virginia.
Oh, okay.
Amen.
I'll check it out. I'll try going there.
Come on down.
Saturday.
Yeah. And until then, here's some literature, and I'm going to take your name and address.
Okay.
And you don't have to give it me right now, but I'm just going to pretend I'm writing it down, and you give me your name and address, and I'm going to send you some information. And help you get started on your walk. Amen?
Can you send it by email?
I can send it by email. Just give me your, you know.
All righty.
So,
put that down, too.
I'll put that down, too. Thank you. So come here, honey. So let me just tell you. So we just played a role play, and she gave me a tough time. Now, what I could have done is just said, okay, Carolyn's not ready to receive the Lord. So I could say, turn it and say, okay, instead of saying, pushing the pray with me, I'd say, okay, so you're interested in Jesus. Would you like to receive some information? And that's the other choice. If somebody wrestles with you, you know, you don't want to force them to pray. If they don't want to pray,
right.
You know, the other option is to, okay, if I was to send you some information about Yeshua, about Jesus, would you read it? And see if they say yes. If they say yes, take their information and send them something.
That's right.
Amen. If they pray to receive the Lord, help them find a church or a synagogue, messianic synagogue. There's so many. We're in the Bible Belt, so we're the only synagogue around. But thank you, honey. You did a great job. So that just gives you an idea. And it's possible, you know, Carolyn, she did a good job giving me a tough time. But a lot of people don't. I've prayed with people in a minute. In 1 minute, I've walked up and said, who do you think Jesus is? And people have said to me, well, he was a good man. I say, yeah, he was a good man. The Bible says he was the Son of God. He came to die for your sins and mine. And he was buried. Incredibly, he rose from the dead on the third day. Do you believe that? And they'll say, yeah, I guess so. And I'll say, well, have you ever asked him into your heart to be your Savior? And they've said, no. I'll say, well, is there any reason you shouldn't right now? And they say, no. Well, let's pray. And boom, they pray. And all of a sudden, how do you feel? Wow, like a new person. I've seen it in a minute, in 1 minute. Hundreds of people. Hundreds. Am I telling the truth, Don? Walking through the park in Washington Square Park in New York City, walking through the parks in cities around the world, in England and Australia, South Africa, all over the world, asking people. Isaac's probably seen me do it in restaurants, haven't you? Have I led people to the Lord? Waitresses in a restaurant? Isaac, my son, sitting back there, he's seen me lead people, waitresses, to the Lord. Learn that proposal statement. What's the point? The Bible says the fruit of the righteous is the tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise. The fruit of the righteous is the tree of life. Yeah, you're going to have bitterness in life. You're going to have suffering. Some of you are going to choose suffering. You're going to choose bitterness, choose to be miserable. Okay? Some of you are going to take this bitter herb, stick it in your pocket, and be your friend. This is my friend. I'm a Christian, but I want you to introduce you to my friend, Bitter Herb. This is my friend, Bitter Herb. I like to take him with me wherever I go. Would you like to meet him? Would you like to hold him? Hi, Bitter Herb. Nice to see you today. God wants you to get rid of this thing and toss it in the trash. You need to repent. If you've got bitterness in you, you need to repent of that sin. And confess it and get right with God. But, you know, there's sweetness in God. God wants you to get to the sweetness and get to the point where no matter what you're going through, you find the sweetness in life. Amen? Amen. But last thing I said is if you haven't led anybody to the Lord, the Bible says the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise. And if you haven't won a soul and you'd like a copy of that proposal statement that I just shared, just contact our ministry and I'll be glad to send you one. You can email us or you can go to us on Facebook for Zion's Sake Ministries or Our Yehuda Messianic Congregation, Our Yehuda Messianic Congregation in Bristol, and message me privately and I'll send you. Give me your address. I can't email it. I can only send it to you. Can we email it? Do we have that on? Yeah, we can email it. So if you give us your email, we will email it to you, okay? And you just memorize that proposal statement. It'll help you, a tool to lead. It's just a tool. It's not a guarantee, just a tool. But I guarantee you, if you use it, you will lead people to the Lord. Praise God. Everybody stand up. I want to bless you. Now, that Seder plate is not in the Bible. Jesus followed it. He talked about it. It actually is in the Bible. It's talked about in Luke chapter 22. Our Savior said, the one who sops with me is the one who's going to betray me. So even though God didn't tell Moses, make a Seder plate, the oracles of God were given to the Jewish people. And they didn't write them all down. They just did some. Amen? Hanukkah was not one of the oracles, was not one of the holidays in Leviticus 23. Hanukkah was not one of the eight feasts of God, but yet in John 10:22, Yeshua put his signet ring, he stamped it by celebrating it, the Feast of Dedication. John 10:22, Yeshua celebrated Hanukkah in Jerusalem in the New Testament. It's not even mentioned in the Old Testament. It didn't even exist in the time of the Old Testament. So a lot of things of the Jews that aren't even written down, and people write them off as man-made traditions, you better be careful before you judge. And there's a lot of you judging people out there. A lot of folks judging Jewish traditions and things of the Jews, and you don't know anything about them. You don't know a Jew. You've never witnessed to a Jew. You've never hung out with Jewish people. You don't know, and you're judging. And God says, do not be arrogant or conceited against the natural branches. In Romans 11, 25 and 27, he says, for you stand only by your faith. And if they could be cut off, you could be cut off too. So do not be conceited towards the Jewish people, towards the natural branches. Do not be arrogant. And don't think you know it all, because you don't. All right, please stand up. I'm going to bless you. And the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron that this is how I shall put my blessing upon the people. Yivrechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha Ya'er Adonai panavelecha v'chunecha Yisa Adonai panavelecha v'yisem lecha shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you shalom, give you peace. In the name of Yeshua the Messiah, the Prince of Peace. Shabbat shalom. Shabbat shalom, friends on Facebook. Thank you for watching. Folks at home, on live stream, folks here in the congregation, shalom, peace to you. Greet one another. I think we have lunch. Is there going to be lunch served down in the fellowship hall? Oneg, God bless you. See you next week. Come to the Passover. We still have tickets. Contact our ministry. If you're in the Bristol area next Saturday night, we still have some seats available. You want to get that proposal statement, contact us and we'll send it to you. And you can help you lead people to the Lord. Shalom.